Okay, good evening, everyone. And welcome to this important shiur. I'm assuming everyone can hear me. And if anyone, maybe you can put up their hand. Yeah, Jenny, can you hear me? Good, thank you. Welcome to this important shiur about what to do this year on Pesach when Shabbos is Erev Pesach. So it's a special Pesach, just by introduction. And the truth is that both spiritually and practically, there's a lot of advantages in this year. Spiritually, when you go into a Yontif, when you experience something like Pesach coming straight from the Kedusha, from the holiness of Shabbos, that's a great thing. So one shouldn't look at it as an inconvenience, it's a great thing. And also practically, although there's some complications, halachically, which we're going to go through, the truth is that practically this year is a year where you can really prepare for Pesach properly, for the Seder properly. You can have a good shlof in Shabbos afternoon, which we'll talk about exactly how you do that in a moment. But and you can come to the Seder rested. People come to the Seder often, they're falling asleep, and doing all the mitzvahs and trying to experience the Seder. Like this, we can come to the Seder, mom is rested, then it's a beautiful thing. But the thing is, we have to know exactly what to do. There are various complications. Now, this concept of Pesach Erev Shabbos Erev Pesach, it's a very, very fascinating subject in halacha. There's lots of different opinions and lots of different things to go into in depth and discuss, which really isn't going to be the focus of this year because I don't want to complicate things and make people confused. So I really rather, what I want to do is I want to go through a practical approach and go through step by step. Once in a while, I'll explain some interesting things just because to spice it up a little bit, but really the focus here is more practical. Now, I have no doubt that as we're talking, it's because it's Zoom, so I've muted everyone, but please feel free to ask questions, and the best way to do that is put it in the chat, and I'm going to try and get to it. I'll try and get to them, and I'll try and get to all the questions as we can. Okay. Also, just to point out, this shiur is recorded, so anyone who wants to revise it or know someone that couldn't come and wants it, it will be recorded. We can send it to them. And also, I'm going to be sending out on the Bina email a summary of what we're talking about tonight, a Pesach guide, a Shabbos Erev Pesach guide, step by step. Okay. First thing I want to talk about is actually not the Shabbos, but the Thursday before Pesach. I believe it's the 25th of March, which is called Tainis Bechoyrim, the fast of the firstborns. So what this means is that normally on Erev Pesach, the halacha is that firstborns need to fast to remember and to acknowledge the fact that Hashem killed all the firstborns of Egypt as the 10th plague, but spared the Jewish firstborns. And therefore, as a zecher, to remember that and to give thanks to Hashem, there's a minag, there's a halacha actually, that firstborns should fast, or fathers of firstborn sons before bar mitzvah. But because it's close to Pesach and it's very hard to fast and so on, so normally we get around it by hearing a siyum. So firstborns come to shul and they hear a siyum, a completion of a tractate, completion of a mesechta gemara. Then they partake in the meal afterwards and the refreshments afterwards, which is considered a sudas mitzvah, and therefore they don't have to fast. Okay. This year, of course, the Shabbos would never be proclaimed on a Shabbos, so therefore needs to be brought earlier. The halacha is that on a fast day, it's supposed to be Shabbos, but it's brought earlier. You don't bring it earlier to Friday, you bring it earlier to Thursday. So therefore, the Tainis Bechorim, the fast of the firstborn, is actually Thursday before Pesach. So it's tomorrow a week, 25th of March. It's important for firstborns to go to shul to hear a siyum. Now, last year, there was a whole discussion about hearing a siyum over Zoom. There are opinions that say it's okay, but it's definitely not the ideal. So therefore, those of you who are firstborns, it's really important to try be present where the siyum is and to partake in the refreshments which are happening at the siyum in order not to fast. Also, this is not a specific for this year, but just want to point out that the firstborns, they're so used to not fasting and they're so used to hearing a siyum, so they forget that it's actually a fast day. I say that because when you get up in the morning and you normally have a coffee before davening, if you're a firstborn, you shouldn't do it next Thursday or anytime Erev Pesach, because it's a fast day. You can only start eating once you've heard the siyum, so therefore one shouldn't drink or have a coffee waking up in the morning until you actually make it to shul and you're able to hear the siyum. Just for interest, so this year it's Thursday, because when you bring a fast forward, you don't put it on earlier, you don't bring it on Friday, but you do it on Shabbos. Just an interesting discussion that's brought down in the Poskim, what the definition of pushing off the fast here is. Is it that in such a year the fast was originally established on the Thursday? Or is it like most years where the Shabbos, the fast day is still on Erev Pesach, but since you can't fast, you make it up a different time. You make it up on the Thursday. That's just a halachic analysis, which I'm not going to go into in depth, but the consequence of that debate would be, let's say someone on the Thursday totally forgot that it was Tanis B'Charim, and didn't hear a Siyum, and didn't fast, didn't do any of that. Do they need to do it on Friday? If you say that really the fast belongs to Shabbos, you're just doing it on a different day, well, if you didn't do Thursday, then you need to do Friday. But if you say that the fast was only done on the Thursday, well, he missed the fast, so he missed the fast. Anyway, one shouldn't forget. If one does forget, so if you can hear a Siyum on the Friday, it's better. But otherwise, just keep it on the Thursday. The time is the fast of the firstborn is on the Thursday. And that's when all the firstborn should hear a Siyum. And then they don't have to fast and they can partake in the Siddur's Mitzvah. Okay. Now let's go step by step. The first thing we need to talk about is the searching for chametz, the bedikas chametz. Normally, the night before Pesach, there's a mitzvah, a rabbinic mitzvah, that is not just enough to clean, and it's not just enough to get rid of the chametz or to nullify the chametz. One has to actually search for chametz. So what we do normally is the night before Pesach, we put out 10 pieces of bread, we search very well with a candle, we bundle it up afterwards, we keep it for the next day, and the next morning we burn it on the Erev Pesach. Obviously, that cannot take place on Shabbos, it involves fire, so it's brought earlier to Thursday night. So next Thursday night, the 25th of March, Thursday night is the Bedikas. It's only the 13th of Nisan, but nevertheless, we need to do the Bedikas Chometz after dark, as soon as possible, which is about 7:34, and we do the mitzvah of Bedikas Chometz. Now, normally what we do is, after Bedikas Chometz, we recite a nullification of the chametz called bitul chametz, which is called chamira over chamira. For those of you who might just happen to have a haggadah, an article haggadah in front of them, it's on page 14. And we do this twice. One when we search for chametz, and one after we burn the chametz. So the one after searching the chametz, the kol chamira, we still do next Thursday night. Because essentially what that says is, after we search for chametz, we then say that any chametz that I missed and I couldn't find, and I didn't see it, and I missed it, I mevatel it, I make it worthless, I declare it null and void. It's like the dust of the earth, it's completely ownerless, and it doesn't belong to me anymore. Okay? So that's all done this year, a night earlier. We do it on the Thursday night, going into the 13th of Nisan rather than the 14th, and we do it as we would normally do every Bedikas Chometz, as we always do. When you finish Bedikas Chometz, right, the halacha is that any further chametz that's going to be eaten needs to be safely put away. Because if it goes all over the house, then you have to search for chametz again. In this case, there's more chametz than usual because you also need to eat chametz on Shabbos. We need to eat chametz on the Friday night. We need to eat chametz on Shabbos morning, early. So any chametz that needs to be eaten for Shabbos on Thursday night, we need to, after the bedikah, after the searching for chametz, we need to put it away safely, and make sure that no one can get to it, especially young children or any insects or animals, whatever the case might be, and we put it away safely. Now, what do we do with the chametz that we found, or the 10 pieces of chametz that we put out? So the next morning, we burn it. Now, I want to clarify that the minhag is that we burn the chametz on the Friday morning, right? And normally there's a special time you have to burn it by, which is called the fifth hour of halachic hours. This year, because of daylight savings time, it would normally be 12 o'clock. Technically, this year, it would be okay to do it on Friday afternoon, because the time of the prohibition of chametz has not yet arrived, because it's not Erev Pesach. However, the halacha is, says in Shulchan Aruch, that in order to make the Friday as similar as possible to Erev Pesach, so that we shouldn't confuse it with other years, next Friday, one should still burn the chametz at the normal time. So practically, next Friday morning, we burn the chametz with all the 10 pieces and the spoon and the feather, as we would normally do, before it must be burnt. Not just start the burning, it must be burnt, completely burnt. This year, it's by 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock noon. Normally it's about 11, but because we're still in daylight savings time, so it's 12 o'clock. So next Friday, this Friday week, in other words, 2 days before Pesach, we must burn the chametz on Friday morning like we do every Erev Pesach. However, with one difference. Please listen carefully, this is important. Normally, after we burn the chametz, we recite a second Kol Chamira, a second nullification, a different one, where we say that this time the chametz that I found and I didn't find and I noticed and I didn't notice and I saw and I didn't see, everything, boom, completely, should be bottled. Now, we can't say that on Friday because we're still going to eat chametz. Normally, burning chametz is the last thing you do after you've eaten all chametz. This time, of course, you're going to eat chametz Friday night, you're going to eat chametz Shabbos morning. So you cannot say that, so therefore the Kol Chamira is not recited. So we burn chametz next Friday, but we do not say the Kol Chamira. We leave the Kol Chamira to Shabbos morning, which I'll get to. However, what we do is, in many communities, there's a minhag that besides the Kol Chamira, there's a whole tefillah, a whole prayer that we say to Hashem, that just like we burn the chametz, Hashem should allow us to burn our Yetzer Hara, and we shouldn't be tempted, and we shouldn't be connected to impurity, and so on and so forth. That's still said on the Friday. We say the Yehi Ratzon, those have a minhag to say it, but we do not say Kol Chamira. So again, in summary, next Friday morning, we burn the chametz as we would do every Erev Pesach, before the right time, before 12 o'clock, just to keep it similar to all years. And we say the Yehi Ratzon, but we do not say the second Kol Chamira. So the first Kol Chamira we do say the night before. The second Kol Chamira, which we normally say after the burning, is not said on the Friday. Now, when we finish burning the chametz, all chametz we put away, the chametz we're going to use for Shabbos should also be put away. I will say the following. There's a different customs and there's different opinions in halacha, but bottom line is, technically, it's not only Shabbos. Technically, if one wants to eat chametz on Friday afternoon, one could. However, there are many customs not to eat chametz on the Friday, even though you're going to eat it on Shabbos. And I would recommend that practically, the Shabbos chametz is complicated enough. You don't want to add any more complications. And I would advise people not to eat chametz on Friday afternoon. There's plenty to eat besides chametz. I can't say that it's technically forbidden, it's not. But nevertheless, I would advise people, I want to try and be practical tonight, so I would advise people not to eat any, after the burning of the chametz, not to eat any chametz, like you wouldn't do any Erev Pesach, of course, and not to only to put away chametz to eat on Friday night and Shabbos morning. One further thing about the Friday is that you should treat it as Erev Pesach in terms of Pesach Seder preparation. All Seder preparations, checking the lettuce, boiling the eggs, roasting the shank bone, the zroya, whatever you normally do on Erev, making the haroses, whatever you normally do on Erev Pesach to prepare for the Seder should be done on the Friday. In fact, the more you prepare on the Friday, the better, because as we'll talk about later, you can't do any preparations on Shabbos for the Seder. And we'll come back to that a bit later. Okay. Now let's talk about the Shabbos. I want to give an introduction to the Shabbos so we understand it. We understand it properly. Shabbos, we have a problem. This is the halacha's problem. It's exciting. It's exciting halacha to deal with. But it's a complication. What's the complication? We have an obligation to eat Su'udah Shabbos, the meals of Shabbos. Meals of Shabbos, by halachic definition, comprise of bread. Hamoitzi. Right? Lechatchil. Hamoitzi. Eating bread. The problem is that the only bread we could eat is chametz. We cannot eat matzah. Right? It is osur to eat matzah on particularly Shabbos morning, but even according to many poskim, Friday night as well. That's Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, we don't eat matzah. The other potential alternative could be to eat what we call matzah ashira, egg matzah. Right? The problem with that is egg matzah is mezoinus. Right? Now, egg matzah Ashkenazim don't eat on Pesach, but this Shabbos, it's not Pesach yet. The Shabbos Erev Pesach, it's not Pesach until the next morning, until 12 o'clock the next morning, until 11 o'clock the next morning, so to speak. So technically, you could eat the Shabbos meals with egg matzah and just eat it Pesach dik. Although that is an option brought in halacha, it is strongly not recommended, because in order to make hamoitzi over egg matzah, you have to make a whole meal out of it, and there's different opinions how the meal has to go. In other words, according to many pasim, you have to eat an enormous amount of egg matzah for it to be hamoitzi. Others say it could be less amount, but it's a complicated thing. I would strongly recommend. Also, we don't Ashkenazim don't eat egg matzah. And if you eat it together on your Pesach table, it's going to be with your Pesach kelim. But a bit complicated. I would strongly recommend not to use egg matzah, and therefore the only option that's left to us is to eat challah, or to eat hamotzi, to eat bread. Okay. Now, the problem, of course, is that the house is completely pesachdik. Number one, that's the first problem. Second problem is, if we're going to eat a whole normal fancy chametz meal as we normally do, we're going to be left with chametz or chametz type food. And therefore the question is going to be, what do we do with all that chametz? I should point out, and I forgot to say it before, it's not relevant to most people, but it's obviously, I do this and others do it. But obviously we have the sale of chametz, right? The chametz that we put away is going to be sold, but that's sold on Friday. Different opinions of how you do the sale this year, but that's not relevant now. But the sale is done on Friday. The challah you're going to eat on Shabbos is not included in that sale, right? The non-Jew knows that, and he will know that at least. That obviously you're not going to be stealing from the non-Jew when you take Friday night a bit of chametz to eat. That's not going to be stealing from the non-Jew. The non-Jew, that's not sold to the non-Jew. So, but everything else in the house is. Everything else that's chametz is put away, and this chametz is okay. So what do we do? So I'm going to focus on the two meals, first of all, Friday night and Shabbos morning. There is, of course, a whole discussion about Shalosh Shudos, which we'll get to in a few moments. But let's first talk about the Shabbos meals. So, first of all, it's important before Shabbos to prepare. Now, we need to make Kiddush, and we need Lecha Mishnah. Lecha Mishnah means that the way you make hamotzi on Shabbos is you make hamotzi on two complete loaves. Two complete challahs or loaves of bread, whatever the case is. One needs to prepare that for Friday night and for Shabbos morning and keep it in a safe place. It needs to be done in a way where we'll minimize the amount of crumbs that will come from the eating of the challah. My recommendation is, this doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, I'm just saying, but I'm trying to be practical. My recommendation is to get pita breads. Probably a good idea to get them soon because things run out, and put them in the freezer somewhere, or a freezer wrapped up well away from the Pesach stuff. Pita bread, whole pita breads, not ones that already cut the top. Has to be whole pita breads because it doesn't crumb. Or, what do you call those things? Wraps. Wraps which you cannot get. I think you get them at Kohl's, you get other places which are kosher and pas yisrael. And they look like matzahs, but they're soft. They're probably like the original matzahs used to look like. And it's chometz. It's pure chometz. It just looks, it's like a thin wrap. You tear it to eat. It doesn't make any crumbs. And that's probably a very practical way to put together. So we prepare chometz items, chometz rolls or wraps or pita breads to be eaten on Shabbos. Make a calculation of how many people there are in the family. Sort of make an assumption of how much you need. It shouldn't be too little and it shouldn't be too much. Everyone has to eat preferably two kazaisim, that's every Shabbos that way. In order to bench, you have to eat two times the kazais. So I think a whole wrap should be good, a whole pita bread is for sure good, and so on. And but don't go and get too little, but don't get too much. You shouldn't be left over with a lot of big pieces of chametz. Okay, so that's first of all. Now, then it comes Friday. I'll go through Friday night, and we follow a similar procedure Shabbos morning, but let me just do it one thing at a time. So follow the following procedure. This is now, there are various options and there are very interesting halachic questions on what I'm about to say. And there's different opinions back and forth. I don't want to complicate and confuse everyone, so I'm going to give one very mainstream accepted way of doing it. And on the contrary, for people who have questions or want to discuss it further afterwards, no problem. But this is the procedure that I recommend. Take a room which is not in the dining room or the kitchen in the house. It can be outside or it can be in a different room, where you're going to make Kiddush and you're going to eat the chametz. So make Kiddush in a room in the house, which is not used, is not close to the dining room or kitchen. Make Kiddush in a disposable cup, a strong disposable cup, and either have bags with the chametz in it or have paper plates, but everything should be disposable. When you start making Kiddush, and particularly when you wash, it's important to have in mind that you are beginning the meal in this room, but you're going to complete the meal in a different room, back in the dining room, where you're going to have your Pesach part of the meal. Okay? So, you gather in a different room, make Kiddush in a disposable cup, using grape juice, wine, whatever you normally use. Give everyone to drink from the Kiddush as you would normally do every Friday night. And then go and wash. Go and wash, have in mind that you're going to complete the meal somewhere else. You make hamotzi in the room where you made Kiddush. And eat up your pita bread, your wafer, your wrap, your challah, whatever you prepared to have as part of the Shabbos meal. Everyone should eat the right amount, eat up the kazais, the tukazesim, the kebeya, whatever the case is, and then you have to get rid of it. Now, how do you get rid of the crumbs? So first of all, it's important to eat it carefully, eat it over the plate or over the bag, so it shouldn't go away all over the place. If a few crumbs go on the floor, it doesn't matter, particularly if it's a place where people walk, but in the first instance, one should try and gather up all the crumbs. Any remainder piece of bread, any remainder crumbs should be flushed down the toilet. Right, that's how you get rid of the chametz. It's as good as burning the chametz. Right, that's the opinion of all the poskim. That's as good as burning all the chametz. And so, therefore, at the end of this eating of the chametz, any crumbs, any pieces of pita bread, any piece of bread you didn't manage to. So if it's a big piece of bread, you should, in the toilet, crumb it up a little bit so that it's small pieces, flush them all down the toilet, and the chametz is gone. What do we do with the plates or the bags or whatever, your napkins or whatever you ate the chametz with, or the tablecloth? So what's important to do is a couple of things. Here's the halacha. One should rinse it out in the bathroom sink, not in the kitchen sink, chas v'sholom. But if there's any crumb like that stuck to the plate or anything, any part of chametz that might be on the plate, throw it into the toilet bowl. Or if it's stuck to the plate, wash it in the kitchen sink and make sure all the chametz goes down the drain. So that you should be left with clean disposable plates or clean bags or a clean napkin. Okay? And then those napkins and those plates, if they clean, there's no actual chametz on them, can just be thrown in the garbage and that's fine. Right? There's no problem with that anymore. If for whatever reason, it shouldn't happen, but if for whatever reason, it's too difficult to clean the plate, some piece of chametz somehow got stuck to the plate and you somehow can't get it off in the kitchen sink, and in the bathroom sink, I mean, right? And you've got actually a plate with some chametz attached to it, then there's a couple of things that could be done. Either you need to pour a bit of strong detergent over it so that it's completely not edible anymore and then throw it in the garbage, or put it in a bag and take it out to a public place like a garbage can in a park or something like that. Not your neighbor's garbage can, not your own garbage can, but a garbage can in a public place. That's where it could be done. Right? That's a couple of the options. But really, you shouldn't need to do that, because if you do it carefully on Friday night, you just wash it off you put all the crumbs in the toilet. If there's any crumbs left on the plate, rinse them out in the bathroom sink, goes down the drain. The plate or the napkins or the bags are completely clean. Put them in the garbage and throw it in the garbage. Okay, I hope that's clear. Now, when you finish eating all the chametz and you disposed of all the chametz, make sure your hands are clean. Make sure your mouth is clean. And then go into the dining room and finish the meal. Pesachdik. Eat meat, eat fish, whatever you normally eat by a Shabbos meal. You continue that. Just eat it Pesachdik. When you finish the meal, you bench in the dining room. Right? You bench in the dining room, even though there's a discussion in the Paschal about, but it's a definitely accepted view to do it, because you've had it in mind, you can do that. You can bench in the dining room. It's still part of the Shabbos meal. And then you finish benching. And then that's it. Now, I want to make one thing clear. When I said you have to put the crumbs down the toilet bowl and wash the things in the bathroom sink, it doesn't have to be done before you finish your meal. In other words, you could make kiddush in that room. You could eat your pita bread or your challah. You could leave all the crumbs there. Go into the dining room and finish your meal. And then after you bench, you can come back and finish up. As long as when you go into the dining room, of course, your hands are clean and you don't have any chametz on you. But otherwise, it doesn't matter when you do that. As long as no kid or anything, no child is going to get to it and mess it up. That's why I said it's better to do it right afterwards, because then you know it's absolutely done. Okay. That's Friday night. Shabbos morning. Okay, Shabbos morning, all shuls are going to daven much earlier. Each shul will do it in a different way. You just have to check with your shul when they davening. And the meal on Shabbos morning should follow exactly the same procedure with one difference. The difference is you got to give yourself time to become chametz free. So the last time you can eat chametz is 11 o'clock in the morning. The practical suggestion is you got to start a long time before that. You got to start maybe 9 o'clock or 9:30. Because you want to make the kiddush, you want to eat your pita bread or your challah in the other room, you want to continue on your meal, and so on and so forth. So you follow the same procedure as Friday night, but do it early so that you should be well finished by 11 a.m. There is something else that you have to do before that, and I want to just talk about that a little bit. So when you finish the meal on Shabbos morning, do the same thing you did Friday night, get rid of all the chametz. Then you need to wash your hands very well. Before 11 o'clock, you have to wash your mouth out very well. Make sure there's nothing in your mouth or your hands, because it's now coming the time where it's forbidden to eat any chametz. And then, of course, you have to do what you would normally do on Erev Pesach, for those particularly who have fillings or stuff in their mouth. The way it's normally done is as follows. First of all, normally normally on Erev Pesach, it's a good idea to floss your teeth very well. Shabbos, that's a bit more complicated because it's osur to draw any blood. So if you want to do a little bit of flossing just to get it out obvious places, you could do that, but make sure not to do it too hard so you don't cause blood. The same thing, toothpaste is a problem to use on Shabbos. You can use a soft toothbrush that is dry if you want to get stuff out, but you need to do it in a Shabbos safe way. Now, many people, what they do is if they have fillings, and this is not this year's issue, but it's normally what is done. I do this as well. I have fillings. But what they do is the fillings have absorbed chametz throughout the year. Many people who have fillings do not eat hot chametz 24 hours before the time of chametz, number one. Number two, just before the end of the eating of chametz time, in this case 11 o'clock, they will rinse their mouth with like hot water, as hot as they can get into their mouth. Not boiling water, don't burn yourself. But they do have either a very hot drink or rinse their mouth with hot water, and it's almost like a form of kashering. Right? Although you can't kasher vessels on Shabbos, but you can still do this on Shabbos, but of course you can't open the hot tap, so you can take a little bit of water from the urn and make sure it's manageable and rinse it, or just have a hot tea. That's also good, right? A hot drink, a hot tea from the urn, make it in the way you would normally make it on Shabbos, and then you have that, but all that needs to be done before 11 o'clock. So again, you need to daven before 11 o'clock, you need to make your kiddush and eat your chametz in the room, you need to finish your meal, you need to bench, you need to clean up, you need to clean your mouth, and you need to make sure that your teeth are all in order, you need to have the hot drink if you have fillings, and then you're ready for Pesach, almost ready. Now, the next thing that needs to be done is as follows. And this, what I'm going to say now, all needs to be done before 12 o'clock. Before 12 o'clock, the pockets on the clothing of the people that ate chametz on the Shabbos needs to be checked, as we do every Erev Pesach. You should just check your pockets if there's no chametz there. And then something extremely important. That second kol chamira, that second nullification of chametz, that we didn't do after we burnt the chametz on Friday, which we would normally do, must be then said on Shabbos morning, somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. We should say the second kol chamira, where we nullify all chametz that I've seen and I haven't seen and I forgot and I didn't forget and I saw and I didn't see. It's in the Haggadah, it's the second kol chamira. Very important. It's easy to forget because it's not in routine, because the routine is normally we say it after burning the chametz. It's really important to make sure you say it on Shabbos morning before the end of the chametz prohibition time completely, which is 12 o'clock. So all eating stuff, all stuff to do with the mouth must all be finished before 11 o'clock. Throwing away the clean disposable cups, or saying kol chamira, checking the pockets and all that, that all has to be done before 12 o'clock. I hope that's clear. I'm assuming there's no major questions yet, so I'm hoping I'm being clear. Okay. That is the simple. Now, again, there's other ways of doing some of the stuff, more complicated ways, but this is certainly an acceptable, a very acceptable way. I've discussed with other great rabbanim overseas, and this is certainly a very acceptable way of doing things, and it's the most practical, I believe, of the way it should be done. Okay. Shabbos afternoon. Now it's complete Pesach tick, like it would be after the time on regular Erev Pesach. You're completely Pesach tick now. The house is Pesach tick, you can only eat Pesach tick and so on. However, still matzah cannot be eaten. Chametz for sure not. Matzah should not be eaten. And also we don't drink wine on Erev Pesach after the time, because it makes us not hungry for the Seder. That's not a good thing. So we don't drink wine and we don't eat matzah. And we don't eat chometz, of course, because you're not allowed to eat chometz anymore. So there becomes the issue. Before I get to Shabbos afternoon, there's an interesting question here. So, could you eat in a cafe chometz on Friday afternoon after you've burnt the chometz? Technically, yes. I just advise not to. But technically, yes. If you eat somewhere where there's still chometz and they're selling chometz, you could still eat there. But again, my advice is better not to. It just gets complicated. Okay, Shabbos afternoon. Now, there's a third meal of Shabbos, which is called Suda Shlishit, Shalosh Shudas. And many people, not so much in the circles of Chabad, but in many, many people are very strict to eat that third meal properly, normally to wash. So you can't wash now. It's an afternoon. There's no washing. There's no eating chometz, no eating matzah. Right? So there is one approach from the Vilna Gaon that one should do is in the morning get up extra early, and the meal procedure I described before of eating chametz in a different room and throwing away the crumbs in the toilet and all this story should be done twice. So you wash, you go eat your Pesach meal, you bench, then you wash again. Now, there's a couple of complications with that. First of all, it's not so simple you can do that because you have to make a good interruption between the two meals. Otherwise, it's a bracha for no reason. So you need to take like a walk around the block or whatever the case is. And also, others say that doesn't really help because others say the time of Shalosh Shudas is dafke in the afternoon after midday. So a much more sort of prevalent custom and a very accepted custom is what it says in most paskim in the Shulchan Aruch, that this Shabbos you just have to rely on the opinion that you can have Shalosh Shudas without bread. That you can have Shalosh Shudas with meat or fish. A lot of people for that Shabbos make a cholent. You know, you have a bit of a shluf, and then you come back, place 1-2 in the afternoon, and you eat a cholent with meat maybe. Or if not, at least some fruit. And that's the way you do Shalosh Shudas. Those are things, Zmirois by Shalosh Shudas, should do it this week, that week as well. Just with non-bread items. Okay, so that's the simplest way of doing it. So I'm just mentioning that during the afternoon there is a Shalosh Shudas issue. And those that are normally makpid to wash, this year it's a bit complicated. So the best thing is just to have Shalosh Shudas in the afternoon without washing, just to have meat, fish, or if not meat and fish, at least to have fruit or something like that. It's anyways a good idea to eat something in the afternoon because it's a long day. It's a long day, and therefore it's good not to be too hungry by the Seder. On the other hand, it's good not to overeat on Shabbos afternoon, so you should still be hungry by the Seder, according to Shulchan Aruch, especially after 4 in the afternoon, after the 10th hour, which is 4 in the afternoon, it's a good idea not to eat too much. I said a question here about eating things on Shabbos afternoon that you normally have on a Seder table. So there is a minag, doesn't refer to all things, you could eat eggs, not a problem. There is a minag that some people have on Erev Pesach, not to eat anything that goes into the morer, in other words, not to have lettuce. So if you have a salad Shabbos afternoon, not to have lettuce, and not to eat things that go into the charoises. For example, not to eat nuts or apples or things like that. Okay, so that's every Erev Pesach, and that would apply to that Shabbos as well. But things like potato, even though it's in the karpas, or onions, or eggs, not a problem. You could definitely eat that every Erev Pesach, and that Shabbos included. Okay. Now, so that's the Shabbos. Now, I want to talk about other things that happen on that Shabbos afternoon. A couple of things. First of all, it's a long day. You can't do much. So it's a good idea to study the Haggadah and to be prepared properly, spiritually speaking, for the Seder as it starts that night. Secondly, one may go to sleep on Shabbos afternoon, even though there's a problem to prepare for Shabbos, on Shabbos, for after Shabbos. So one may go to sleep to be rested by the Seder. However, the Shulchan Aruch explicitly says that one should not verbalize that. One should not say, I'm going to go to sleep now because I really want to be rested by the Seder. You can't say that. You shouldn't say that. Just go to sleep and enjoy your shlof. In your mind, you know that part of the reason you're shlofing now is to be rested by the Seder. That's okay. But one shouldn't enunciate, one shouldn't actually say, I'm going to go to sleep in order to be rested by the Seder, because that's an issue of verbal preparation. Hachona, one shouldn't do that. That's number two. Number three, I want to discuss a very, very important issue. And this is a little bit difficult, and I'm going to give some practical advice as well, even though I'm not very accomplished and functional in the kitchen, but nevertheless, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice that I heard from experts in the field, so to make it easy for everyone. Okay. So, it is forbidden on this Shabbos, it is prohibited to prepare in any way for the Seder. Right? As it is, by the way, it's prohibited to prepare on the one day Yontif for the next. Yeah, that new question I'll get to in a minute. Right? So one shouldn't prepare anything. Now, what I mean prepare is not only to do things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do something that you could do on Shabbos. For example, you can lay the table on Shabbos, but you cannot lay the table on this Shabbos for Shabbos night, for the first night Pesach. Right? So we're not allowed to do anything on the Shabbos that prepares for the Seder. Okay, it's a very, very important halacha. It's called hachana. Now, I know that creates a certain complication for a lot of people, because when I say you can't do it on Shabbos, you have to wait till after Shabbos. After Shabbos is 7:34, it's late, and people want to start the Seder. So I want to just give a couple of practical applications, practical advice. I mean, there's no way of getting around this halacha. This is a clear halacha. So what do we do? So again, one should be as prepared as possible on Friday. Meaning, if one has a lot of guests, maybe there's a small table. If you have a small crowd Friday night and a big crowd on Motzei Shabbos for the Seder, maybe lay the table even on Friday afternoon, and just have a small area where you can eat your Pesach part of the Shabbos meal, not the chametz chas v'shalom, but that's done in a different room. But the Pesach part of Friday night meal or Shabbos morning meal, if you've got a smaller place, you can do it better. Or if you can't lay the table yet, at least, I don't know, you can make the napkins, you can sort out the cutlery. Do as much as you can Friday night to be prepared. Again, what I'm about to say is nothing to do with halacha. It's just a practical thing I've heard from people that do this. A lot of salads can be done a lot before. You can cut up a lot of vegetables in tight containers. Don't put any dressing and just mix them on Matzah Shabbos. A lot of things can be done Friday. Be as prepared as possible you can Friday. Second piece of advice is have the oven ready, or the stove, something that you're going to heat up food on Matzah Shabbos. And if it helps you, you can make it on a timer. Put it on a timer to go on just after Shabbos comes out. But maybe go and then go off later. That's also okay on a yontif, and then make it a bit of a higher temperature, so it can warm up the food. Again, I know this is ridiculous for me to be sharing this, but someone told me this, so therefore I'm sharing it with you. They have these things today called. I've forgotten what they're called now. Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. No, I don't know where I put it. They're called oven to table dishware or something, where it's certain things that you can set up your chicken or set up the things that you're serving in a very beautiful way, put them in the oven, and they're nice enough to take straight from the oven and put them on the table so you don't have to take them out and start putting them out in other containers and so on and so forth. I'm not the expert in this. I'm just saying as much as possible to think ahead of things that will be cut down the time on Matzeh Shabbos when you start the Seder. There's no other way to get around this. The halacha is very clear that you cannot prepare on Shabbos for Matzeh Shabbos. So it just needs to be as prepared as possible and do it in such a way where you cut down the things you have to do Matzah Shabbos. For example, this idea of putting something in the oven in a container that can go straight on the table afterwards, that cuts out a lot of time. So all these things are just practical advice, but we just need to be as prepared as we possibly can. Now, the other thing I wanted to say about the Shabbos is like this. I see a few questions. I'm going to get to the few questions in the middle. In a minute. A lot of people have a minag on the Shabbos before Pesach, after Mincha, right? Sorry, let me just go back a minute about the preparation. One can only start setting up the Seder when Shabbos comes out, that is 7:34. And particularly the women who are going to right away start preparing things, or the men for that matter, either they have to daven first, or at least to say Baruch HaMavdil as you would most Matzah Shabbos. So when it's Shabbos going into Yontif, there's a special Baruch HaMavdil we say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh LeKodesh. Right? But that has to be said before you start preparing. As soon as 7:34 comes, say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh LeKodesh, and then you can start setting up your Seder. Now, many people have a minhag on the Shabbos before Pesach, any Shabbos for Pesach, not only this year. After Mincha, they say part of the Haggadah. That's because the miracle began already on Shabbos. And therefore, we do that and we say part of the Haggadah on the Shabbos afternoon. That is done on this Shabbos. If you have that minhag, that is done on this Shabbos as well. That after Mincha, you say part of the Haggadah. In addition, a lot of people have the minhag that on Erev Pesach, after Mincha, we say a piece of the Haggadah, printed in most Haggadahs, a piece explaining how the Korban Pesach was brought. Now, when Shabbos came out Erev Pesach, the Korban Pesach was also brought. It overruled Shabbos. In fact, I'll tell you an amazing thing. We say that the way the calendar was structured, when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim on Pesach, the next year, the very first Pesach that they celebrated, Shabbos was this. It was like this year. Shabbos Hagadol was Erev Pesach. How do I know that? Because we know Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Sunday, just like this year. So therefore, Shabbos was Erev Pesach. And they brought the Korban Pesach, right? Because there's a whole story in the Gemara to work out how we know this, but the Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbos as well. Therefore, we have a principle that when we learn about something, it's as if we're doing it. So therefore, we learn about the Korban Pesach on Shabbos afternoon, after Mincha, because the Korban Pesach was brought after Mincha. So therefore, we do it on every Erev Pesach, including this one. So this year, on the Shabbos after Mincha, we say a piece of the Haggadah, plus we say the Korban Pesach as well, in order to be like we fulfilled the Korban Pesach. So that answered that question. There's a question over here. If the hot plate is on a timer from before Shabbos, obviously it'll go on before Shabbos is out also. Is it still okay to put the soup after Shabbos is out? Yes. Yes, it doesn't matter when it goes on. As long as you wait till after Shabbos, you can then put the soup on it, that's okay. Right, so you can put your things on a timer, even if it goes on Shabbos, it's not serious, and it could then you could put the food there once Shabbos is out. I'll just end off talking about the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. I'll just end off with a nice story the Gemara tells. The Gemara says that there was a time in the time of the Sanhedrin after Shemaiah and Avtalion, and it was a very weak time in Jewish history. There was no real leadership and there was no people who carried on the tradition from Shemaiah and Avtalion, and the people who had the Sanhedrin at the time, there was a group of people. I'll answer some of the questions in a moment. There was a group of people called the Bnei Baseira. The Bnei Baseira were the leaders of the Sanhedrin. However, they had a disadvantage because they weren't disciples of the previous generation. They weren't part of the chain, and they weren't disciples of Shemaiah and Avtalion. And then it was a long time it didn't happen, and then it happened that Shabbos came on Erev Pesach, and they didn't know what to do. And they said, oi, we need someone that really learned by Shemaiah and Avtalion. And the Gemara says that someone came up and said, well, there is someone. There was Hillel. What happened was, Hillel was born in Eretz Yisrael. He learned by Shemaiah and Avtalion. Then he went to Bavel to learn Torah, but he had just returned. So they found him, and they brought him, and he said, yes, we learned by Shemaiah and Avtalion, and he quoted the Pasuk and everything, and they said that we have to bring Korban Pesach even though it's Shabbos. And they were very, very impressed. And the Bnei Baseira got up and said, if that's the case, we give up, we abdicate, and we give it to you. And the Hillel became the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. It's a beautiful piece of Gemara, a beautiful story about this time when Shabbos fell out of Erev Pesach. There's a couple more questions here. So, do we read the Korban Pesach and Haggadah this Shabbos or next? No, I'm talking about the Shabbos Erev Pesach. I'm not talking about the Shabbos at all. The Shabbos is not Shabbos HaGadol. Although we give the Shabbos HaGadol drashas, but it's not Shabbos HaGadol. But Shabbos HaGadol is the Erev Pesach one. So yes, after Mincha, or in the afternoon, we read the Haggadah as we would normally do, the part that we normally read on Shabbos HaGadol, and we say the Korban Pesach, not this week. Right, so that's the Maggid we're talking about. The Maggid that we normally read on Shabbos HaGadol, that's not the Shabbos, it's the Shabbos of Erev Pesach. Someone also asked, is Kiddush Yaknahaz? Yes, and let me just explain that. So that's nothing to do with this Kviyas necessarily, but this is, since we're going out of Shabbos, so by the Seder, the Kiddush is going to be a bit different, just follow the Haggadah. There's a special Kiddush that you make on Yontif, if Yontif comes out on Motzei Shabbos. It's called Yaknahaz, meaning it's a Kiddush and Havdalah combined. Follow the instructions in the Haggadah, and that's the Kiddush we make. So we do that, yes. In fact, we do it another time, later on in Pesach, because the last 2 days are Shabbos and Sunday. So the second night of the last days is also Matzah Shabbos. So we make that special Kiddush again, just not Shechiyonah that time. So I hope that was clear. I am going to be giving out a guide. And again, I said it is recorded. I just want to remind people of a few things. First of all, I didn't really cover any regular Hilchos Pesach because that wasn't the topic of the shiur. But I will do some of that on Matzah Shabbos. I'm giving a shiur this Matzah Shabbos at 8:30. It's about normal Shabbos HaGadol Russia, even though this Shabbos is not Shabbos HaGadol, as I said. It's at 8:30 on Zoom as well, same Zoom. So again, please join us. We'll do some inspiration to prepare for Pesach as well. So please join us. We'll cover some practical halachas. I just want to mention one thing before we go, and that is when I talked about preparing on Friday as much as we possibly can for Matzah Shabbos to be as ready as possible. It's not just a practical thing, it's also a halachic thing, because there's a concept of not starting the Seder too late, especially that the kids shouldn't fall asleep. So although we cannot prepare on Shabbos, but we need to really start as soon as we can. So therefore, we need to be as prepared. One of those preparations is looking through the matzahs. You know, particularly those people that use the hand shmura matzahs, very often they come broken, and one has to find shlemus, one has to find complete matzahs. Very good idea to look through it on Friday and get all your matzahs for the Seder plate so they're ready, so that on Matzah Shabbos, you don't start looking through the matzahs to find the complete ones, the complete ones for the Seder plate, so do it on Friday. Similarly, open all the wine for yourself, all the guests. Open the wine. It takes time to open wine. Do it all on Friday. As much as can be done on Friday, should be done on Friday, so that we're as ready as possible for Matzah Shabbos. I tried to be as clear as possible. I hope people understood what to do. If anyone has any questions, please contact me. As I said, it's a complicated Shabbos, but actually it's a beautiful Shabbos because you come to the Seder prepared and rest and focused. So I want to wish everyone a kosher and a freilich and Pesach. And of course, the ultimate tefillah is that this Pesach, we should do what the B'nai B'Seira said, got Hillel to teach us that we should do. And we should actually be in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, bringing the Korban Pesach and on Shabbos. And we'll be able to celebrate Pesach in a complete way. Chag Sameach and a kosher and faithful Pesach to everyone.